Morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is Lamed Vav. This morning we're going to be finishing the fourth parak of the Masechta. The parak has been dedicated to the topic of Shavuos Ha'edus. We are learning together today, as we learned yesterday. We had a Mishnah on Lamed Hamad Aleph, and the Mishnah talked about various languages that would be effective in terms of creating the Shavuah. The creation of a Shavuah, again, puts the witness under now the penalty of having to bring a carbon. If he denies knowing information, if he's kofar together with the Shavuah, so then he will be subject to have to bring a carbon ol aviyori. That's been the topic of discussion in this fourth parak. What we're going to be learning later this morning is that it could be that he puts himself under a Shavuah, or it could be that he puts himself under a curse, under an Arur. And how do we know that it could be either one of those two? So stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that later this morning. But in the meantime, however, a Shavuah is going to be used with Shem Hashem. Okay, so a Shavuah is obviously just an oath, but it's a significant oath. It's one which employs Shem Hashem. It got the Mishnah to discussing what are considered the Shemos that one would be subject to the oath. And the Mishnah described that it's not just the Shem HaMiyucha, but it's also other Shemos as well. You use Shemos like Shakai, Tzvakos, and Chanan, Rachom, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed, and all these Kinuyim. So now you are bound by the oath that you made, and as a result of that, you're going to be subject to have to bring the carbon if, in fact, you deny knowing information. As long as we talked about Shemos, so the Gemara now is going to continue its discussion of Shemos, and really for a good part of today, really the conclusion of yesterday's daf, and a good part of today's daf as well, we're going to be talking about Shemos. When you see Shem Hashem, so do we normally assume a Shem Hashem? The answer, of course, is yes. But under certain circumstances, you'll know from the context that it's not actually Shem Hashem. So let's begin the discussion over here. We're in Lamed Hamad Alf, we're in Lamed Hamad Beis, we're towards the top of the Amud, starting with the words Tana Rabbanan. Kasav Aleph Lamed Me Elokim. If you write just the letters Aleph Lamed from the word Elokim, or the letters Yud and Hey from Me Hashem, Hashem obviously over here referencing the four-letter name Yud Kevav Ke, Harei Zei Einu Nimchak. So now you've written Shem Hashem, even though it's a contracted version, but still in of itself significant and represents Shem Hashem. As a result of that, you're not allowed to erase it. However, Shin Dala Me Shakai, if you write the first two letters of the Shem Hashem of Shakai, or Aleph Dala Me Hashem, Me Adoshem, so Tzadi Beis Me Tzivakos, or if you write the first two letters of the word Tzivakos, Harizah Nimchak. So these are you're allowed to write because they're only significant when written in whole. If you're only writing a portion of it, even if it's a significant portion of it, still those letters don't by themselves represent Shem Hashem, as opposed to the Yud Kei versus, I'm sorry, not verses, as opposed to the Yud Kei and the Aleph Lamed, which are in Shemos Hashem. So as a result of that, these can be erased. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tzivakos Kula Nimchak. Even if I write the word Tzvakos, which now I guess I'm able to pronounce it as Tzvaos, so it can be erased. Why? Shalin Nikro Tzvaos, El Al Shem Yisrael. Tzvaos is really a reference more to the Jewish people than it is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, go to next week's Parsha. Votzesi et Tzivosai es Ami B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And I'm going to take out Tzivosai. Tzivos is a reference to us, obviously. We're going to be taken out of Mitzrayim. I'm Shmuel, ain't halacha like Rabbi Yossi, and we have the Gemara concluding the Shmuel that the halacha does not hold like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore Tzvakos is a Shem Hashem and is not subject to being erased. And then of course, which I don't have prepared, then you're going to have to say pshat in the pasuk if Tzvakos is Shem Hashem. Okay, but it's an important detail, but I happen not to have a good pshat. I don't have pshat in the pasuk. Tanu Rabbanan kol atafel l'shem bein melafana bein melacharef. Huh?
What's the difficulty? Changes the context.
Oh, in other words, that in this particular context, he'll agree. That's a reference to Bnei Yisrael, but otherwise, it's going to be Shem Hashem.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. Agreed. Okay.
It's a different word. It's not exactly the same.
Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. Agreed. It needs. You're right. You need to say pshat. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa called Atafel Hashem Bel Malfanav Uvei Malacharav Harezei Nimchak. Okay, suffixes and prefixes, right? We have it as part of the syntax and grammar of our language, and every language has got suffixes and prefixes. So let's say there is a prefix or suffix to Shem Hashem. So obviously Shem Hashem is Enu Nimchak. You're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem itself, but what about the suffix and the prefix? So we have now first the brisa presenting the opinion of one Tana, who says that it's all eligible to be erased, meaning it does not have the Kedusha. even though it's literally attached to Shem Hashem, but it does not have the Kedusha. So the Gemara gives a number of examples. Melfanav Ketzad, La Hashem, Lama Nimchak, Ba Hashem, Beis Nimchak, Va Hashem, Vav Nimchak, Me Hashem, Mem Nimchak, Shenimchak, Ha Hashem, Hashem Nimchak. Hey is Nimchak, Ka Hashem, and the Chaf is Nimchak. Okay. Why the Gemara has to go through every one of the examples, I don't know, but okay, that's certainly point made. Le'achar of Ketzad, now we're talking about suffixes. Elokei nu, the nunvav is eligible to be erased. Nunvav nimchak. Elokei hem, the hem is nimchak. Elokei chem, the chem is nimchak. Acherim omrim, la'achar avinu nimchak, shekvar kishu Hashem. And then there's an interesting shita, shitas acherim, brought down in the Braiso, which is that a prefix can be erased, but a suffix cannot be erased. Why? Because the suffix is following Shem Hashem. And the suffix basically is going to be now receiving the Kedusha of Shem Hashem. So as you're reading Shem Hashem and then you hit a suffix, so as long as now you're in the state of Kedusha, you remain in the state of Kedusha for the suffix as well. Amar Rav Huna, Alacha Ka'acherim. And here Rav Huna says, Alacha facts holds is following the Acherim. So if you Elokeinu, so that can't be erased. In other words, that now, both the Shem Hashem and the suffix following is going to have Kedusha. Okay. The Gemara now gives us Samanim, and as we are now going to take a tour of Tanakh, we're going to take a very short tour of a big section of Tanakh, meaning we're going to be literally all over the place. We're going to be in Bereishis, we're going to go to Sefer Shoftim, we're going to hit Daniel, we're going to be all over Tanakh, and basically Shemos that are used throughout Chumash. So what do we say regarding whether they are Kodesh or whether they're Chol? Generally speaking, obviously, and the context is really going to be the overarching theme and the answer to these questions of whether it's Kodesh or Chol. But as you're going to see in the course of some of these Gemaras over here, the context is going to be somewhat ambiguous, and so therefore it is open to interpretation of whether it's Kodesh or Chol. So a number of examples. So let's start off the following. Kol Shemos, Hamur Betar Ba'Avraham, so Kodesh. Anytime you see the Aleph Dalet Shem of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in relationship to Avraham, it's Kodesh. Chutz Mizeshu Chol Shenemar Vayomer. And now I'm going to read it Bederech Chol, as the Gemara now is advocating. Vayomer Adonai Imna Matzasichem Beinecha. So who is Avram talking to right now? Obviously, if we're learning it as Chol, so he's talking now to the master over here being the Malachim. So Imna Matzasichem Beinecha, meaning please don't go. Meaning I see you're here, so don't go. Now, admittedly, it's a little bit tricky, by the way, because there are three Malachim, and if we're learning it Bederech Chol, he's addressing one of the three. Okay, but in other words, maybe he clearly sees that one of them is a leader, but however that works, but in other words, he's addressing the Malachim. And the Gemara points out, this is not a Davar Muskam, not everybody agrees. Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua, v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, mishum Rabbi Elazar amodai omri, av zeh kodesh. So an opinion of other Tanaim is that this is also kodesh. How do I know that? Now how does the pasuk read? The pasuk reads that Kadosh Baruch Hu is addressing Avraham is addressing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ina matzasi chem beinecha al nas Avraham el avdecha. So he's saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, hey, stay right here. All right, I have the orchim over there. So do me a favor, please. I mean, it's just it's when you read it this way, you realize it's like now we're saying something significant. Avraham is asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, you stay right there, and I'm going to go visit the orchim, and I'm going to I'll invite the Orchim into my house, and then I'll come back to you. It basically puts HaKadosh Baruch Hu on hold. Okay? And Kaman Azlaha, and now the Gemara points out that there's a memra, a famous memra, Amrav Yura Amarav Gedola Achnasas Orchim Yosef Makbas Bnei Ashchina, that Achnasas Orchim is greater than an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come on, Kosa Azog. Now, we know this based on the way we just read the pasuk, meaning by Avram actually having a direct audience with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and then having an opportunity of Hachnasas Orchim, now he turns to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, could you hold? just hold on 1 second, I'll be back. So you see now, in terms of a value system, in terms of what we should prioritize, Hachnasas Orchim actually takes priority over Kabbalas Pnei Ashchina. Now, Lamaisa, by the way, at least I'll speak on behalf of myself, I'm not involved in Kabbalas Pnei Ashchina, meaning so then, like in other words, Lamaisa, we're not going to make that choice, but certainly gives us a sense of how important Hachnasas Orchim is. Okay. Kol Hashemos Hamorim Belot, Chol. Every time you see the Aleph Dalet by Lot, so it means my master, meaning he's speaking to the Malachim. Again, same issue over there. There's a pair of malachim, and if you read it as chol, it's, you know, he's addressing one of the two. But again, I touched on that a moment ago. So, kol hashemos amurim balot chol chutz mizeshu kodesh, with the one exception, which is kodesh shenamar vayom alot elokim al na. Well, again, I'm going to read it now. I'm sorry. No, this one's kodesh. Vayom alot aleihem al na Hashem hinei namatzav avdecha chein beinecha. And then the pasuk goes on. The Gemara doesn't quote it, but this is the part that is critical in terms of how the Gemara knows that this is kodesh not chol. I'm just reading the rest of the pasuk. V'atagdel chasecha asher asise madi lahachayos es nafshi. Right, you saved my life. Now, when he's saying you saved my life, so who's he addressing? The Gemara makes the obvious point. Mi sheyesh biyado lahamis alachios akash baruch hu. So that's a reference to Akash Baruch Hu. Kol shemos amros benavos. The Eidei Sheker testified about Navos. Navos, of course, was the next door neighbor to Izevel and, I just had a mental block. She's married to, thank you. Okay. It happens. There's a lot of names today. So Achav and Izevel are married. Achav happens to also be none other than Melch Yisrael. He's the king of Israel, meaning the northern tribe. And their next door neighbor was Navos. He had a vineyard. They wanted the vineyard. So they basically said, let's have the vineyard. And Navos said, no. The Rishonim were bothered by the simple question that he's a king. He has eminent domain. He could have just simply have taken it. But for whatever reason, he didn't operate that way. And so he had another idea in terms of how to take the vineyard. And that, of course, is kill Navos. Okay, so fine. And so what he did is he hired a pair of false witnesses who trumped up charges against Navos. Actually, there were two charges that were involved. Number one, that he was a Megadeth, he blasphemed, and he was a Morid B'Malchus. So these are the two charges that were trumped up against Navos, and as a result of that, he was killed. And anytime you see Shem Hashem over there, it is Kodesh. In other words, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning it makes sense because the charges were that he was Megadeth. And B'Micha, however, when you see Pesel Micha that was set up, you read about Pesel Micha in Sefer Shoftim, Prakim Yud Zayin and Yud Ches in Sefer Shoftim. So those Shemos obviously are Chol because it's a reference to Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Lazar Omer B'Navos Kodesh B'Micha Yeshmem Chol V'Yeshmem Kodesh. So Rabbi Lazar says, look, by Navos, agreed. Shem Hashem over there is Kodesh. By Micha, Yesh V'Yesh. Aleph Lamed Chol Yud Kei Kodesh. So when you see the Aleph Lamed by Pesel Micha, that's the Aleph Lamed meaning a reference to Elohim. So that's Kodesh. When you see Aleph Lamed is Chol and Yud Kei is Kodesh. Chutz Mizeh, with one exception, Aleph Lamed, Vehu Kodesh, and that is Kol Yemos Hayos Beis Elokim B'Shilo. Pesel Micha was set up in the north, concurrent with those years where the Mishkan was set up in Shiloh, the Beis Elokim. Now, obviously, if you're referring to Shiloh, it is Beis Elokim, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there, it's Elokim, but it's obviously a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the exception over there in the Pesukim in Shoftim, Perakim, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, where you see the Aleph Lamed, and it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, otherwise, it's a Avodah Zarah. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Now we're moving to the end of Sefer Shoftim, the 19th, 20th, 21st Perakim of Sefer Shoftim, or otherwise known as the end of Sefer Shoftim. So it deals with Pelegish Begiva. Pelegish Begiva, a terrible tragedy that occurred. A woman was violated. The violators were not taken to court. The Shevet was first condemned, and then a civil war broke out between all the other Shvatim and the Shevet that didn't convict. The Shevet was Binyamin. And so you had a civil war that broke out. And that now carries us through the end of Sefer Shoftim, the last three Prakim of Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim does not have a happy ending. So Kol Shemos Omros Begivas Binyamin. Now, all the Shemos over there. Now, the Shemos over here that the Gemara is making reference to is in the middle of the story, meaning in Perek Chaf. So a number of times where the rest of Bnei Yisrael inquired of the Urim V'Tumim if in fact they should go to war against Binyamin. So they went three rounds of asking the Urim V'Tumim. Why did they go three rounds? So oddly enough, it's because after asking the first time, they went to battle and they lost. After asking the second time, Nachamol, they went to battle and they lost. And then going for a third time, finally they were victorious. So the Gemara over here is going to make a really interesting suggestion, which is, well, how come they lost the first two times if they asked the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim said they should go? And the Gemara now is going to make a suggestion. It's difficult for me to understand, but Gemara now is going to make a suggestion. Oh, it must be because they weren't asking Kodesh, they were asking Chol. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means, meaning if they're asking the Urim V'Tumim, like, in other words, it is to me a little bit confusing, like, and they're using the Urim V'Tumim for some other medium? Maybe, but okay. Anyway, that's where we're heading in this discussion. So Kol Shemos Amurz Begivus Binyamim. So Rebbe Lazar Omer Chol. So Rebbe Lazar says Chol, meaning in round one and round two, when you see Shem Hashem over there, it's Chol. It's not Kodesh. And his argument is, well, actually, we'll see the argument in just a moment. Rebbe Yeshua Amar Kodesh. Rebbe Yeshua says it's Kodesh. So Amar Rebbe Lazar. So Rebbe Lazar says V'chim Avtiach Ve'Noseh. I don't understand. How could it be Kodesh in rounds one and two when asking the Urim V'Tumim? They lost the battles in round one and two. So it can't be Kodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises something and then doesn't fulfill the promise? That's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar Rebbe Yeshua, Ma Shehivtiach Asa. Ve'hem lo bichnu im l'tzochim l'naseach. And the response to Rebbe Eliezer is, well, you got to read the Pesukim carefully. Because in the Pesukim in round one and two, so they asked, but the question that was phrased was, should we go to battle? And the answer was yes. They didn't ask, are we going to be victorious? Okay, so to the question, there was an answer. There was no haftacha, there was no promise of victory. And then, b'achrona shebichnu hiskimu. But then in the third round, I guess they finally wised up by the third round, and then they said, should we go to battle and are we going to be victorious? And the answer was yes. I'm sorry, hiskim al yadan shenemar. Excuse me. And again, the Gemara doesn't quote this, but this is now the conclusion of the Pesukim. So in round three, the response was, yes, go, and I'm going to give them over to your hands. So clearly in round three, there was now a haftacha, there was a promise that they were going to be victorious, v'kachaya. So in other words, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, all three times it was Kodesh, it was not Chol, and it just that in rounds one and two, the question was not properly asked. Kol Shlomo Amor Mishir Hashirim. So we are really in a whirlwind of Tanakh. Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Shoftim, right? The last five prakim of Sefer Shoftim. And now we're moving to Shir Hashirim. Kol Shlomo Hamorim B'Shir Hashirim Kodesh. So you see the word Shlomo over there, so it's Kodesh. Now, as we know, Shir Hashirim is the Gemara elsewhere describes as Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning the other of the Megillas are Kodesh, meaning the Sifrei Kodesh, right? Part of the canon, as they say. But when it comes to Shir Hashirim, it's Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was discussion of maybe not including Shir Hashirim in Tanakh. The Gemara elsewhere had that debate, but it's Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Kodesh that you see the word Shlomo over there, and according to an opinion the Gemara now is citing, that actually is Kodesh as well. Now, when we say Kodesh, to what extent? Meaning, is it subject to Mechia? Meaning, are you not allowed to erase it if you write the word Shlomo? Hard to imagine, but certainly, though, the idea that it is a reference to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara goes on to explain, what does that mean, Shlomo is a reference to Kodesh Baruch Hu? Shir l'misha shalom shalom. So this is the song of who is the owner of shalom. Right? In other words, the owner of shalom is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Three times a day at the conclusion of Shemona Esrei. So, right, that's what we petition. For the owner of shalom to bestow it upon us. Chutz mizeh, there is one exception, and that is Kamishali lefanai alef lecha shlomo. So pasuk towards the end of Shir Hashirim. So my vineyard, ha'elef lecha shlomo, and the Jewish people are a description of the Kerem Hashem. We are the vineyard, and the shlomo l'didei, and shlomo exists on his own. I'll explain that in better in just a moment. O masayim l'nochim es per yo. That's Rabban and that's a Chachamim. Meaning that of the vineyard that's given, so 1,000 is given over to Shlomo and 200 are given to the Chachamim. Okay. V'yesh Omrim. So in other words, but there Shlomo is actually a reference to Shlomo HaMelech, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one notable exception where Shlomo is used in Shir Hashirim, where it's not a reference to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'yesh omrim, now according to the second opinion, avzechol, a second pasuk found in Shir Hashirim, this is in the earlier part, hinei mitaso shel Shlomo, shishim, there are, the bed of Shlomo had 60 warriors surrounding it. Shlomo was afraid of, Rashi points out, he was afraid of Ashmadai, right, a demon. The Gemara in Gittin, describes the tenuous relationship that Shlomo had with Ashmadai. But anyway, that also, that pasuk in Shir Hashirim is also referenced to Shlomo. So what do we have now in Shir Hashirim? We have two psukim and only two, and debatable, meaning certainly one pasuk, the Karmisha Lilafanai Alef Lecha Shlomo, and the second pasuk open for debate in terms of whether or not that's chol. Now, the Gemara now notes, Af Zev Velomi Bayahayach, meaning, according to the second opinion, he certainly agrees in the first pasuk that it is chol, and he adds on one more. Elahadam, Shmuel, the Gemara points out, but however, this is problematic, because there is a statement made by Shmuel the Amora, which is, Machusa Dekad Lachad Mishisa Ba'ama Lo Mi'anshe. Let's say you have a government that only kills the 6 of its people. Not so bad. Now, I know in of itself that's very difficult to understand. The government that only kills the 6 of its people. Rashi points out over here what we're talking about is enlistment. Meaning that every government needs an army. And you're going to enlist. And so you should enlist no more. This is Shmuel's rule of governance. You should enlist no more than a 6th of your people. Okay, approximately 18% of your people should be enlisted, but no more than that. Of course, then it becomes like, how do you decide who gets enlisted, who doesn't? Okay, but more rules of governance that is beyond the scope of our discussion for now. But in the meantime, however, Shmuel says, and how do I know that? Because he says, I read the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. He actually learns it from this pasuk in Shir Hashirim, meaning the first pasuk that we discussed. Shenamar karmisha lilafanai ha'elf l'cha shlamo, and that's machusa derakia. In other words, Shlomo over there is a reference to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then, umasayim lanochem es peyo lemachusa da'ara. And the 200 guards, that's a machusa da'ara. So you see the ratio over here is 1,000 to 200. 1,000 to 200, that's a 6. Right? That's out of 1,200, that's 200, that's 1/6. So you see over here that the way Shmuel understands this pasuk, it's teaching us the laws of governance. You can only enlist the 6 of your people. But in the meantime, however, according to Shmuel, clearly he holds that the Shlomo over there is Kodesh, not Chol. Problem is that previously we had the Braisa, which is Tanayim, who say that Pasuk is clearly Chol. It's only the other Pasuk which is open for a debate. Okay. And so now we have Shmuel not holding like a Tana. So the Gemara says, Shmuel lo Ketana Kamar v'lo Ke'esh Omer. And that bothers the Gemara. He's holding like neither. Answers the Gemara, Halo Hachi Kamar v'yesh Omrim ze Kodesh v'zeu Chol demitaso. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll just revisit the Braisa, and now we will say that according to the Yesh Omrim actually doesn't agree to the Tanakama. The Yesh Omrim says, no, that Pasuk, meaning the Pasuk of Karmi, that is Kodesh. I do have a Pasuk that's Chol, that's Mitaso Shoshlomo. But in other words, now the Yesh Omrim is arguing with the Tanakama, and now we could have Shmuel going like the Yesh Omrim. Okay. Moving ahead in Tanakh. So we have now covered Rashis, Shoftim, Shir Hashirim, Sefer Daniel. Kol Makaya La'amur B'Daniel. When you see the word Makaya, the king. So that's Chol. It's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was taken as a young man, as a boy, into the court of Nebuchadnezzar and is serving as one of the advisors to Nebuchadnezzar. The Navi goes over many of the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had, the interpretation that Daniel gave towards the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. Anyway, you see the word Makaya mentioned often in Sefer Daniel, it's Chol. It's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Chutz Mizeshu Kodesh. With an exception, this is towards the beginning of Sefer Daniel. Ant Malka Melch Machaya Di Allah Shemaya Machusa Chista V'Tikva V'Ikari Yavlach. You heard me say this many times. If you want to know whether or not you know Aramaic or you don't know Aramaic, open up Sefer Daniel, read. If you understand it, you know Aramaic. If you don't understand it, you got to brush up on your Aramaic. Right? Again, I've said this often. You're learning Gemara, you think you know Aramaic, at least I think I do. The vocabulary for Gemara is really not that extensive. It's not that much. All right? And the phrases that are used are repeated again and again. But if you like actually want to have like a conversation, if you want to communicate ideas, so open up Sefer Daniel and see whether or not You can read it. I'm not there yet, but I hope to be. I hope to be one day, huh? Yeah, read and understand. You're right. You're right. Excellent addendum. So anyway, so the so it says Melch Machaya. Sorry, Malka Melch Machaya. So that's a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Yeshamim, now, according to the Yeshamim in this Brisa, another pasuk can say for Daniel where it says the word Makaya, and it's a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Avzeh Kodesh, this is another example, Shenemar, Mari Chama L'Sanecho Pashre La'arecha. So, as far as the dream is concerned, I hope that your sonim, your enemies, will be destroyed. So this is now his interpretation of the dream of whom? So Laman Kamar, so the Gemara says, now who is he talking about when he says, my master? So is he talking to Nebuchadnezzar? So Sanate Maininu. Well, that's strange then, because who are the enemies of Nebuchadnezzar? So Yisrael. So Maila Kalait Luhu Yisrael. So now Daniel saying, I hope your enemies are destroyed. Meaning, and he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, and then the enemies are the Jews, and that means Daniel's cursing the Jews? Gemara says, no, can't be. So Vitanakama, now the Tanakama, who clearly holds that this is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, because according to the Tanakama, there was only one exception, and this not being it, there's only one exception of Kodesh. This obviously is Chol. So Savra Soni Yisrael, Ika Soni of the Kochavim Leka. And so as far as the Tanakama is concerned, so Nebuchadnezzar had more than one enemy. Meaning, so when Daniel was saying, I hope your enemies are destroyed, he's referring to the other enemies of Nebuchadnezzar, not the Jews. We are now towards the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Beis, and now we're back in our Mishnah, and we are discussing. What we're discussing right now is that if you put the witnesses under oath, so so you are now they are bound by the oath, and as a result of that, if they deny, if they're kofar, so then they are subject to the Shavuos Ha'edus, the Karban Shavuos Ha'edus. Now, what our Mishnah taught us is that it's going to be, they'll be now subject to the Shavua, even if you don't use Shema Miyuchad, the specific Shema Kadosh Baruch of Yudke Vavke, but even if you use Kinuyim as well. Uriminu Anana, the Gemara says, I have a simple problem, which is the Braisa. The Braisa says, Yitem Hashem Oscha La'alalo Shavua. So, Mata Malamar. This obviously is in the Parsha in Sota, describing what the Kohen is saying to the Sota. So it already says that the Sota is going to be placed under the oath of the curse. So the reason why the Torah repeats it over there is to teach us something regarding Shavuos Ha'edus, notably. Vishama kol Allah, meaning our discussion, Shavuos Ha'edus. Nemar kan Allah v'nemar, lahalan Allah ma, lahalan Shavua, afkan Shavua. So we see that Allah means Shavua, and we're going to go one step further. Just like Malahalan, just like over there by Sota, it says B'Shem, it says Yitain Hashem Osach. So it's B'Shem, afkan B'Shem. This Brisa clearly is of the opinion that in order to be subject to a Shavua by Edus, it must be Shem Hashem, Shema Miyuchad. And it is not the Kinuyim. That goes against our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Lokasha, ha Rabbi Chanina bar Idi, ha Rabbanan. So Rabbi says, it's a machlokas Tanayim. And not everyone agrees with this Brisa. Titania, the Gemara quotes another Brisa. Rabbi Chanina bar Idi, Omer, Hov, Amar Torah, Hishava. The Al Tishava. So since the Torah says, by Shavuos HaDayanim, the words Hishava and Al Tishava. So Kalel, it says regarding the Sota. Kalel, Al Tekalel. So Ma Hishava B'Shem Af Los Hishava B'Shem. Ma Kalel B'Shem Af Los Tekalel B'Shem. So it must be done B'Shem. Meaning that when it comes to Shvua and Klal, so it has to be B'Shem, meaning Shem HaMiyuchad. So you see over there that Rabbi Chanina bar Idi is of the opinion that it must be Shema Miyuchad, and now this Brisa goes with the previous Brisa that we just learned, that it's only with Shema Miyuchad. V'Rabbanan, now according to the Chachamim, how do they approach this? Igamiri, if they're learning Shavuos Ha'edus from Shavuos Sota, Gzera Shava, Nibaye, Shema Miyuchad. So the Gemara says, well, doesn't that arrive to the conclusion that it only works, you're only bound by the Shavuot for Shema Miyuchad? V'lo Gemiri Gzera Shava, and if we're not learning Gzera Shava, Ela D'Shavu Yimin Alu. So a simple question now. How do I know that the word Allah is a reference to a shvua, meaning by shvua se edus. The pasuk only says v'shama kol Allah. So with a gzera shava, we know it's a shvua because it connects us to sota, and sota says the word shvua. But without a gzera shava, so all we have is just simply the words v'shama kol Allah. And now what? So nafkalum edetanya. So the gemara says with another brisa, and the brisa says Allah ain Allah el lashon shvua. Actually, this brisa just with the word Allah by itself teaches us that it's a shvua. V'chein amar v'ishbi'a kohen es ha'isha v'shvua sa Allah. In fact, you learn it from sota. But here's the key over here. Meaning it's not through gzeirah shava. Meaning the parsha and sota is actually defining for us. V'yishbi'a kohen es ha'isha v'shvua sa ha'Allah. You see that the word Allah is a reference to a shvua. The Gemara says, ha'sam shvua sa ha'Allah k'siv. So it actually, the way that you can interpret the pasuk by sota is that it's the shvua of the curse. Meaning it could very well be that the word Allah is just simply a reference to a curse. Hachi kamar, the Gemara says no. Allah, ain Allah ela b'shvua. V'chein omer v'ishbi ha'kohen es ha'isha b'shvua sa Allah. The word Allah is a reference to a shvua, and the Gemara goes to the pasuk in sota. Uminayin. And now we're going to skip the parentheses. Uminayin la'asos. So the Gemara says, and now, how do I know that when it comes to Shvua Sa'edus, a person is going to be subject to the Karban Shvua Sa'edus, both whether it's just a curse or it's a Shvua? It could either be one or the other. Tamar Lamar, Vishama Kol Allah. Vishama Allah, Vishama Kol. Rashi points out over here that when the Torah says, what could the pasuk have written? Second Rashi on the Amud. V'shama Allah v'shama kol. V'shama Allah. The Torah could have just, in other words, as little as the Torah is written, Torah could have actually written even less. Meaning the Torah says v'shama kol Allah. Torah could have just simply said regarding the Edom, v'shama Allah. Now what does that mean? Rashi points out. So midahava l'mechta v'shama Allah. Shema minah dihi shvua shiyesh ba Allah. So it could very well be that just by having written the word Allah, that means a shvua which is bound by a curse. Because of kol Allah yasera. Now the word kol is extra because the Torah didn't have to write it. L'drash asa l'chai v'be'echa mishtei kolos. So if you hear either one of the kolos, you as an aid now will be subject to shvua sa'edus. So either you hear a curse or you hear a shvua, an oath with Shem Hashem. So either one of them is going to result in a karbon. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama, meaning in the Tanakhama is not learning it via gzeirah shava. The Braisa, this Tana is learning it through just simply the fact that the pasuk is just one word extra. From that one word extra, Allah could be a shvuas klala, and the kol could be a reference to another one, which is just simply a shvua by itself. I'm Rabbi Abba, minayin la'Allah shi shvua. How do I know that the word Allah is a reference to a shvua? Shenemar v'yavo osa be'Allah. Uksiv, uksiv, v'gam b'melch nevuchadnetzar marad asher yishbiyo be'lokim. This is psukim in Yecheskel and in Divrei Hayamim. So these psukim are discussing the following. Rashi over here, very sparse. Rashi just simply writes that nevuchadnetzar tzitkiyahu. Nebuchadnezzar puts Sitkiyahu under an oath. What's the backdrop to the story? The Gemara Nedarim tells us that Sitkiyahu caught Nebuchadnezzar. First, let me just give a little more historical context. Sitkiyahu was the last king of Yehuda, right? After Yechaniah was deposed and sent into Galus. So Nebuchadnezzar sets up Sitkiyahu as the, Sitkiyahu was the brother of Yechaniah. Sitkiyahu was set up as the last of the kings of Yehuda. There was one other governor, actually. That's Gedaliah ben Achikam, but he wasn't a king, he was just a governor. He was also set up by Nebuchadnezzar, and he ended up being killed. But anyway, but as we're getting to the end of Bais Rishon, so Tzidkiyahu was set up as the king by Nebuchadnezzar. So it was kind of like almost like he was almost like a puppet king that was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara Nedarim tells us that at one point in time, Tzidkiyahu caught Nebuchadnezzar doing something embarrassing. The Gemara over there describes how Nebuchadnezzar was eating a live rabbit. And he was doing so in order to basically make himself more cruel, more callous. Anyway, Tzidkiyahu caught him doing that, and Nebuchadnezzar said to Tzidkiyahu, I'm putting you now under an oath that you cannot share this information with anybody. And now, this is what we're learning together. Now let's just go back to the Pesukim once again. So the first Pesuk says, Vayave osa be'Allah. Nebuchadnezzar said to Tzidkiyahu, you're under an Allah. Okay, the context by itself already tells us that it's a curse, but more than that, though, we have that second Pesuk. V'gam b'malch Nebuchadnezzar marad asher ishbi'a be'elokim. Oh, so you see, in Divrei Yamim, it's described as a shvuah. So you see clearly that the word Allah is a reference to a shvuah. Tana. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We are towards the top of the Amud, about 8 lines from the top of the Amud. Tana, the Gemara quotes a b'raisa arur. So, bo nidui, bo klala, bo shvuah. The word arur is somewhat of, again, another amorphous word. It's an ambiguous word. And it could be open to either referring to a excommunication, or a curse, or a shvuah. So, bo nidui, we're going to go over each one of them. Dichziv, aru meiroz amar malach Hashem, oru arur yosheveha. Shiras devara, after, back in Sefer Shoftim, Parakim Dal and Hay. So after Barak and Devara. Oh, thank you. After Barak and Devara, just a lot of names today. So after Barak and Devara go to battle, beat the Plishtim. So that's Perak Dalet, Perak Hay, Shiras Devara. Okay, we say both Parakim as the Haftarah for Bishalach. Okay, Sfardim, you're better off. You do Perak Hay. So we do Perak Dalet and Perak Hay. Okay, in other words, we need the background information. You go right to the Shira. So anyway, so the pasuk over there, one of the pasukim in the Shira, is Or Meiroz Amar Malach Hashem Aru Yashveha. So you see, the word Aru is used over there in reference to Meiroz, and the Gemara goes on to say V'Amar Ula V'Arba Me'ashipur Shamte Barak LeMeiroz. Barak excommunicated Meiroz. Meiroz, a community in Israel, who when invited, I say invited, nicely. But when invited to go to battle together with Barak and Devara against the Plishtim, so they declined. No, we're not going to go to battle. So after the battle was over, so we see this now in Shiras the Devara. So Barak now puts him in excommunication. The word he uses is the word Arur. And you see that the word Arur is used in terms of an excommunication. Next, Bo Klala. We're seeing now that the word Arur can also be used in reference to a curse. Dichsiv, Ve'ele Yamdu Ala Klala. And Uksiv, Arura Isha Shayaseh Peso. So you see, regarding the 12 curses that were used at Har Grizim and Har Eval, so you see clearly the word Arur over there is meant as a curse. Okay. And finally, and finally, Bo Shvuah, Arur could be used as a Shvuah as well. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Vayashba Yoshua Beisahi Lemor, Arur Ha'ish Lefnei Hashem, anyone who builds the city, rebuilds the city of Yericho. Meaning that Yeshua placed a ban and a curse on anyone who rebuilds. So the Gemara says, well, how do I know that the word arur over there means a curse? Or I should say better, an oath. V'dilmatarte avaluhu, ashbeinhu v'laitinu. Maybe the word arur over there just simply means a curse. And what Yeshua was doing, actually two things. First, a shvua not to rebuild, followed then by a curse for anyone who violates the shvua. So Ella, the Gemara says, Me'acha. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll show you another place where it's very clear that the word Arur is meant as a curse. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, sorry, I inserted a word into the Gemara. Me'acha, v'ish Yisrael, nigash b'yamahu, v'yal shalos ha'am, le'mor, Arur ha'ish asher yochal. Sha'ol placed a curse on anyone who was going to eat that day, as he was petitioning Akash Baruch Hu for success in battle. Uksiv, and unbeknownst to Sha'ol, so his son, who didn't hear about it, V'yonasan lo shema b'hashbeya aviv etza'am. So Yonasan didn't know about it, and he helped himself to Ya'aros Devash, he helped himself to some of the honey. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'dilma, even with those psukim, maybe hachanam itarti avdilahu, maybe could very well be that Shaul did two things. Number one, he swore, and number two, he put a curse. Ashbi'inu v'laitinu. Shvuah and curse. So miksiv vi'arur. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you read the pasuk carefully. It doesn't say vi'arur. It simply says the word arur. Arur over there by itself just simply means a curse. Hashadasa sahachi asonami loksiv arur. So the Gemara says, very good. Now that you notice that it doesn't have the vav, so in Yoshua it also didn't have the vav. So this solution could also work in the Pasuk Yeshua as well. So once again, we see that the word Arur can mean excommunication, it can mean curse, it can mean oath. Okay, by the way, I kept saying the word curse. I meant oath. In the last round, it meant oath. Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, Amen. The word Amen, bo Shvua, bo Kabbalas Devarim, bo Hamanas Devarim. Amen could either be an oath, it could be accepting, right? In other words, I understand, or Hamanas Devarim, or confirmation of an item. Gemara goes through each one of them. Bo Shvua, Dichsiv, Amar Aisha, Amen, Amen. So the one source, which we all probably would have guessed that the word Amen is a Shvua, is a Sota. She says Amen. After hearing it, she says Amen. That's tantamount to her making a Shvua. Bo Kabbalas Devarim Dichsiv, Arur Asher Lo Yekim Es Divrei HaTorah Zosla, Sosla Sama, Amar Kolam Amen. So once again, by the Hargrizim of Har-Eval, cursed anyone who does not abide by this Torah, and we all respond by saying Amen. Amen over there, a Kabbalas Devarim, an acceptance. And Bo Amanas Devarim, as far as confirmation is concerned, Dichsiv, Ayomer Yirmiyahu Al Navi, Amen King Yaseh Hashem, Yakem Hashem Es Devarecha. He's talking to another Navi, Hananya over there, in Sefer Yirmiyahu. And anyway, he says the Amen King Yaseh Hashem, meaning, right, confirmation what you're saying, meaning, right, you, I hope you're right. Okay. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Lav, Shvua, Hein Shvua. Other languages that could be also understood as a Shvua. So far we have Arur, we have Amen, and now even the words Lav and Hein could be understood as a Shvua. Bishlam Lav Shvua. Now the Gemara says, now as far as the word Lav is concerned, Lav just simply means no. Dichsiv, so here, very simple. V'loya oda maim lamabul. Uksiv kimei noach zos liasher nishbati. So clearly the word Lav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a Shvua. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and now he doesn't use the word Shvur, nor does he use the word Arur, he just simply uses the word Lo. Lo yeh odamayim lamabo. And that's understood as a Shvur. And we know that also because we go then to the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, and the Pasuk over there says, Kimei Noach Zos Liasher Nishpati. I made a Shvur. Well, we don't see the word Shvur used in the Parsha Noach. Oh, because the word Lo by itself is the Shvur. So the Gemara says, Ela Shvur, Ela Hein Shvur Menalan. Where do I see that the word hein is actually a reference to a shvua? So the Gemara says, svara hu midala shvua, hein nami shvua. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe it's just a simple svara. So the Gemara says, amar rava, v'hud amar lav lav trey zimne, v'hud amar hein hein trey zimne. Dichsiv. Now, the word lo by itself is not enough. It has to be repeated. So the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Once again, I go back to Parshas Noach. V'lo yikareis kol basar od mimei amabul, and v'lo yeod hamayim lamabul. The word lo is repeated. Only when repeated is it understood as a shvua. And then, umedalav trei zimne, hei nami trei zimne. And again, the Gemara says, the svara is that for a lav to be a shvua, it has to be repeated. Same as true by a hein. Hamakal b'kulan chayiv divrei Rebbe Meir v'chacham and pochim. Okay, and now, going on in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we're talking now about cursing. This is now talking about blasphemy. Ish ishki kalal lokav nasacheto mata olam v'lo kvar nemar v'nokev v'shem Hashem mos yumas. Now there are two psukim that describe blasphemy. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Yachol lo yechayv ela al shem amiyucha belvad minayin l'rabba says akinuyim tam lomar ish ishki kalal elokav mikom akom div Reb Meir. So according to Reb Meir, the second pasuk is coming to tell me that it would be an iser giduf punishable by Beis Din. Mises bide Adam. Even if you don't just curse using Shem Hashem Shem Amiyuchad, but even if you use the Kinuyim as well. The Chachamim Amim Hashem Amiyuchad, but Mises Baal Kinuyim Baazara. Now the Chachamim say, look, I agree. Two Pesukim. I agree there's a ribui. But here's where I'll stop short from you. You think that it's a Mises bide Adam if you blaspheme using the Kinuyim. Here's where I depart from you. I also think it's a lav. I also think it's an azaron of the Torah to blaspheme using the kinuyim, but it's only a capital crime and it's only capital punishment if you are blaspheming using Shem HaMiyuchad. Next, Hamakal Aviv Imo Man Chachamim. So if a person curses mother or father, so you're going to be chayav, and according to Reb Meir, even by using the kinuyim, and according to the Chachamim, again only Shem HaMiyuchad. So the Gemara says, who are the Chachamim? Rabbi Menachem. Man Chachamim, the Gemara's answer, Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, the time Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, Omer, B'nakvo shem yimatz matom lamer shem leimen al makala avivim or shenochayv ad shikalem b'shem. The shame over there is coming to tell me that not only is it true by blasphemy, but also when one curses mother or father, so then as well, a person is only going to be subject to the capital crime only when he uses shame amiyuchad. Hamakala atzmo v'chaveiro. The Mishnah then goes on to describe that. If you're cursing either yourself or somebody else, not your parents, but either yourself or somebody else, so you will be in violation of a law, and it's true whether or not you use Shema Miuchad or you use the Kinuyim as well. And here in the Mishnah, there is no debate. There's no debate between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Everyone's in agreement. Amar Rav Yana Divrei Hakol, and the Gemara makes this point very clear. This is Divrei Hakol. Atzmo Dichsiv, how do I know that a person is not allowed to curse himself? Interesting source. Raki Shamer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od. You got to take care of yourself. Providing a curse towards yourself is a violation of, you're not taking care of yourself. And Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Elad, Amar Kolmakum Shenamri Shamer Pen Al, Eno Elo Sase. Also, the word, the pasuk we just quoted, He Shamer, that's a law in the Torah. How do I know that's a law in the Torah? Anytime you have the word He Shamer, that signals a law. Right? The one that's used most often in the Gemara, I'm not saying this as a fact, but Libi Omer Li is He Shamer Benegat Saras. The Gemara uses that one pretty often. Here's another example of Hishamer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od, where it's a law. We are bound by a law to take care of ourselves. Cursing oneself, obviously, is a violation of that. Chaveiro, how do I know that cursing somebody else is a law in the Torah? Dichsiv, lo sekal al-cherish. A person is not allowed to curse a cherish. So, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin teaches us that basically, you're not allowed to curse anybody, even a cherish. Meaning that's basically the pasuk is just telling us the limits of who you're not allowed to curse. Okay, Yakecha Hashem Elokim v'chein Elokim zu. Sorry, v'chein Yakechem Elokim zuhi Allah k'suva b'Torah. Now, if there is a curse in the Torah, right? I gave the description yesterday where they were in shul and they're listening to the laning, and they just heard the curse, and a guy turns to his friend and says, "You hear that curse? That's you if you don't testify for me." Okay, fine. And now the person is under a curse. Which means now, once again, if he denies, if he's kofar, so then he's going to bring the Karban Shavuos Eidos. So the Gemara now points out that when reading the Pesukim, now, let's make this point clear. When reading the Pesukim, you got to read the Pesukim. Meaning, especially, you know, by Kriya, by laning on Shabbos, meaning there, it's a mitzvah to read the Pesukim. I'd even go so far as to say, I don't think this is, you know, I think it's Pashat. But even as Shai Mikra Echa Targa, meaning even as, you know, as laning, as learning up the Pesukim, you read the Pesukim. However, when expressing the pasuk from one person to another, so you shouldn't even you should come up with a euphemism when saying these pasukim. You shouldn't say the pasukim as they are. And the Gemara is going to make this point. Yosef Rav Kahana kamed Rav Yehuda v'Yosef karmel hamasitzin kedinan. So now Rav Kahana was in front of Rav Yehuda and he was learning up our Mishnah, and he read the Mishnah as the Mishnah presents itself. Amar le kane, and Rav Yehuda's instructions to his Talmud Rav Kahana is euphemism. Don't say the pasuk as it is. Meaning, I know you're reading a pasuk right now, but it's not Kriya in Shul, and you're not even learning up the Chumash. You're learning a Mishnah. So come up with a euphemism for the pasuk. So Yosef, Ha'umei Rabban, and Kamid Rav Kahana, and there was another incident where a student was sitting in front of Rav Kahana, Yosef Kamar, and now he's saying over a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim reads, Gam al yitatz chalanetzach yachtecha v'yasechecha me'ol v'sharashecha me'eretz chayim selah. A pasuk describing that Akash Baruch Hu is going to destroy, uproot. So Amar Lei, and Rav Kahana now says to the student, Kane, come up with a euphemism. Okay, also don't say the pasuk kipshuto, don't say it as it is. In other words, come up with a euphemism. And by the way, now we know the sequence of events, meaning Rav Kahana learned it from Rav Yehuda, and now he's passing on the same idea, the same message to his student. Now, Tati Lamalei, now there are two stories over here. The Gemara wants to know, why are there two stories? So, Gemara says it is a big chiddush. The second story is a bigger chiddush. In the first episode, we're learning over a Mishnah. Now, yes, it's true, the Mishnah is quoting a pasuk, but fundamentally, you're learning a Mishnah. So, to just simply say, euphemize, I don't know if that's a word, but I made it up. But euphemize the pasuk when learning a Mishnah, okay, but we're learning a Mishnah. But actually, when saying over a pasuk in Tehillim, so There, I'm staying over the pasuk in Tehillim, meaning, and there also, right, euphemism? Yeah, there too as well. And again, I don't have sourcing for this, but Libi Omerli, I think that, in other words, if you're reading the pasukim as just laying up pasukim in Tehillim, so then you say the pasuk. But in other words, if presenting the pasuk to somebody else, right, communicating the pasuk to another person, so euphemism. Okay, and it's a sugya coming up right now until the next Mishnah. Let's start the sugya. I'd like to finish it, but okay, we'll try. In the Mishnah, if let's say I go to the person and I say, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu should not strike you down, or Kadosh Baruch Hu should be very good to you if you testify for me. Okay, and if you're listening carefully and you're hearing me carefully, what I'm really saying is also the opposite as well. But that's only inferentially. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not strike you down if you testify, which implies, pretty clearly, if you don't testify, now you know what. Okay, so now, Rabbi Meir Mechayv HaChacham and Pochim, so Rabbi Meir says, okay, and people read the tea leaves, and the inference is very clear. And since it's so clear, according to Rav Meir, you're now bound. You're bound by the Shvuos Ha'edus. And according to the Chachamim, no, you're not. Meaning, it has to be literally spelled out. The Klala has to be spelled out. So the Gemara says, now what comes out over here is V'ha Leifle, the Rav Meir, Mechlal Avatash Mehein, Epoch. So the Gemara says, we know throughout Shas that Rav Meir holds the opposite. Meaning Rav Meir holds, the Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Kedushin, regarding the Tanai, God and Tanai B'nai Ruvain, that unless it's kafel, it's not a Tanai. When you make a condition, you must articulate the positive and the negative. And it's not enough just to simply say one side and allow the listener to understand the other side. Rameir says, no, you must say both the lav and the hain. So the Gemara in Kedushin tells us very clearly that according to Rameir, that we don't subscribe to the principle of Michla lav atashamei hain. And here, he is subscribing to this idea of Mechla Lava Tashamehain. So we have what's called a stira between Rav Meir. Rav Meir over here in Shavuos versus Rav Meir over there in Kiddushin. First approach of the Gemara, Epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to take our Mishnah, and flip it around. Rav Meir says, you're Pata, and the Chacham says, you're Chaya. Okay. It's not elegant to take a Mishnah and to have to flip it around, but in other words, it creates now shalom between our Gemara over here and the Gemara Kedushin. He also, Rabbi Yitzchak Tanak and Nan. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak comes in, and Rabbi Yitzchak is learning the Mishnah without making a change to the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yosef Hashadan and Tanan Hachi, Vichy also, Rabbi Yitzchak Tani Hachi. So, Rabbi Yosef says, let me put everything together. Our Girsa of the Mishnah is the way we have it. Rabbi Yitzchak clearly also has the same Girsa of the Mishnah. Shmamina Dafka Tanan. So, clearly now I have enough evidence that indicates that the Mishnah's girsa is correct, and we should not be flipping it around. But if we're not going to flip around our Mishnah, back to our original problem. Our Mishnah is going against the Mishnah and Kedushin. Elakasha, ki leis lei bemamona, ava beisura islei. So the Gemara says, look, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to strike a distinction between mamon versus isur. When it comes to mamon, which is the b'nei gad, b'nei ruvain, and that's property, and that's money. So over there, you got to spell it out. Right, by money, don't allow people to make inferences, assume, spell everything out. Make the conditions super clear. But when it comes to Isser, so by Isser, we'll allow, Reb Meir will allow, Mechla Lava Tashamehain. So the Gemara says, Hare Sota di Surahu. So the Gemara says, now what about Sota? By Sota, it is what? Money or Isser? Well, stay tuned because okay, good. You already know where we're going. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that Sota is really Isser. And Va'amar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chachinai Chinki Ksiv. And yet over there, the Gemara in Kedushin, when bothered with the question of, according to Rav Meir, you need both the lav and the hain. And meanwhile, by Sota, it only says the lav, it doesn't say the hain. What do you do? And the Gemara answered on behalf of Rav Meir, well, over there, there is the hain. Because even though the pasuk says he na ki, it could also be understood as chin ki. Admittedly, it's in other words, it's not the pashup shan the psukim, but they're guttural letters, and it could be understood that way. And I guess what we're saying now is that that actually is articulated to the sota, meaning you will choke if in fact you were with a man in that secluded room. So you have the lav and you have the hain. The Gemara is bothered now, but that doesn't fit into our answer. Our answer is that when it comes to mamonos, you spell everything out. When it comes to Isser, you don't need to spell everything out. Well, if you don't need to spell everything out by Isser, so then why did we answer for a mayor by Sota? So the Gemara says, Taima diksiv hinaki halav hachli mechla lavatosha mehein lo amina. So the Gemara just simply articulates the question. Elo epo chafilu b'isur lesleg. So the Gemara says that clearly the Gemara there in Kiddushin felt that you have to spell everything out both by mamonos and by Isser as well. So the Gemara says, "Maskev l'ravina v'isur leisla elamiata shesu yainu perirosh to b'misa achanami deleisla l'rab meir v'atanya elu b'misa shesu yainu perirosh." Now the Torah says, "Yain v'shechar al teisht atav anecha itach b'vochem alo amoy v'lo samusu." The Torah says very clearly that you're not allowed to drink wine when you go into the Beis Hamikdash. The clear implication, but it's only an implication, the clear implication is that if you do go in, you're going to be in trouble. Now, it's Isser, it's not Mamonos, and clearly the implication is by itself creating the liability. So you see clearly that when it comes to Isser, so you don't need Mechlal Lava Tashameh, I'm sorry, we do subscribe to Mechlal Lava Tashamehen. We allow inferences when it comes to Isser. It's only by money where a mayor demands that it has to be spelled out. So now we're back to Sota. If that's true, so by Sota, so what's going on over there? El olam tepuch. So the Gemara says, ki leisle b'monam mamona b'yisuri isle. So the Gemara says, okay, so here we're going to say what we said originally. That when it comes to mamon, you have to spell everything out. When it comes to Isser, we'll allow for inference. Vishani Sota, d'yisuri d'yisbe mamonahu. And as far as Sota is concerned, Sota is Isser and it's money as well. Why is Sota both Isser money? Because Gvias Ksuva, Rashi points out. Because obviously now, once established to be a Sota, so that means a forfeiture of Ksuva. Forfeiture of Ksuva is money for the husband. And so therefore there's a Mamonos element as well. And that's why by Sota, Remeir demands that it's not just simply a Lav, it's also a Hain as well. It has to be spelled out because of a monetary implication. Hadron Lach Shavuos Eidus, that is the end of the fourth parak. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we start the fifth parak of the Masechta.